come through as calculatedly manipulative as it is. They are masters at uses of symbols. There are some studies, I was just looking at one that Kathy showed me today, that has talked about how many negative stories the news media has done on Ronald Reagan. What some people inside the White House will say, that it doesn't matter, that the pictures are what matters. They don't care what the reporter says. They have that pretty picture of him standing there with the American flag behind him, and the people will relate to the picture and of this very congenial, strong person, and the reporter says all these horrible things, and people look at the nice picture. You have an answer, Kathy?
An answer to the question? No, we'll discuss it with him later. When do you think they'll have another woman candidate? Would it be the next election, or do they have to wait? I mean, what type of impact did Farrow's losing have on future?
Well, one of the curious things that has happened, not to my particular happiness, is that the Republican women are doing extraordinarily well. They have all said that Ferraro's candidacy was a tremendous help to them. Jean Kirkpatrick is mentioned in every story. But even inside the Republican Party, they told us at a conference that I attended about a month ago that there was such a concerted effort to put women in the forefront. At Dallas, we saw it, but throughout the campaign, that these were more liberal, feminist Republican women were laughing that the conservative men in Washington would call them up and say, "Now Reagan's coming out to Illinois, and I want to make sure in every photo opportunity we have 50% women and 50% men," and they were saying, "This guy is telling me this. What has happened to the world?" But it seems to have had a positive effect on Republican women. On the Democratic side, we're going through a little period of retrenchment, but we'll be all right.
I'd like to go back to the Gary Hart campaign. This may not be something that you know about, may not have been with your colleagues, but Gary Hart kept talking about this was his slogan, new things. And I was waiting for him to lay out his new program, and I never heard it. Now, was this a conscious strategy not to tell people what he wanted to do, or didn't he really have any substantive ideas?
This was a problem that plagued the campaign from the early days. The new policies that he had were very complicated. He wrote a book called A New Democracy that laid out a number of these programs. There were 200-page position papers that were put out. To try to say what these were in 30 seconds or less was impossible. We tried a series of commercials that named three of them. One was something called individual training accounts, where workers would invest some money so that if they were laid off or if they wanted to be retrained in a new area, this money would be used to retrain them. There were some like that that we did attempt that people could remember quickly, but it was, we never were able to articulate what these were in any way that satisfied most of the people, and so that a lot of people thought it was gimmickry, and he got sort of accused of just having a slogan without any beef, if you remember the "Where's the Beef?" and it was never something that he was able to overcome, to take some very complex things. When an idea is not in the public domain, it's very hard to get it in there quickly. The flat tax idea that now is sort of going around has taken about 4 years. I know it from when you're trying to write a poll question on some of these new pieces of legislation. Poll question winds up being, you know, this long, because you've got to go through all the steps that it takes. After it's been in the public domain for a while, then you can use sort of shorter code words. But our feeling was, and we were wrong, was that because most of the insiders and the reporters believed that he really was substantive, that he was working on some new solutions, that we wouldn't be held to the test, that they didn't think it was just a gimmick, that they really were convinced of it, we were wrong, because their editors obviously said, we'll find out what these new ideas are, and when the campaign couldn't say they're this and this and this and this, there was a lot of cynicism, and we were never able to overcome them. But there is a book called The New Democracy, and it's $4.95, and it has some new ideas in it.
Do you think the lack of ability to lay out an issue really made any difference? Because what I've been hearing you say today is that with the exception of the economy as an issue, none of the issues mattered. What mattered was more amorphous image, how he looked, how he's portrayed.
But that comes into that. I mean, by people being cynical, that it was a gimmick and not real, that we very often will use issues to portray character. And by the inability to show what these new ideas were, caused people to think that maybe he wasn't a real substantive person.
But you were beat by a slogan, where's the beat?
That's right.
Which gets to my other question is, does your experience with polling, the role of polling in terms of campaign strategy and the kinds of issues that the American public seems to be responsive to, increase or decrease your faith in democracy?
Basically it increases, because you see, not to get too cruel to somebody who is down and out, but you see a candidate like John Glenn, who really was not able to bear the scrutiny that comes with a national campaign, that he had some very clever media people and polling people in his campaign. He was on to the future message, but was really not up to the task of a presidential campaign, and he was exposed to that. And I think there is something about the process that does weed out some of the inferior candidates. And I think that the instincts very often of people are good. I certainly am no believer in Ronald Reagan, but I think he is probably somebody who knows what he's about, who is comfortable with himself and is pretty strong. And I think Mondale, for all the goodness in him, is not a very strong person. And I think people generally can ferret out those kinds of characteristics. I think there's some manipulation that certainly can go on, but generally I still have faith. And people want, the reason they were interested in Hart was that they did want something that was substantive, and they were searching for somebody who did have some good new solutions and were looking for it. And they are issue-oriented to an extent, but they, when choosing a president, they really are looking for somebody who is competent, who is not going to blow up this planet, and they got convinced that Reagan was all right on the basic issues. So I think I'm still somewhat hopeful.
Between the time of New Hampshire and Super Tuesday, when Gary Hart's image was spreading like wildfire through New England and through the country, and we were rising in the polls, we got the impression, I worked on the campaign, a couple of us here did, that there was a basic weakness in this Reagan monolith that the Republicans were putting forth, that we could overtake that and keep the momentum going. What you described, though, in a lot of the marketing that went on in the polling, was that you were looking, and the Mondale campaign were looking, to present a candidate in opposition to the other Democratic Party candidates. I would ask, wouldn't it be a better strategy to look towards November when you're working in the primaries and try to market a candidate towards your eventual opponent?
Well, always. And I think one of the good things that came out of both Gary Hart's, mine, Pat Cadell's, and others' experience in the McGovern campaign was that we were not going to repeat that mistake, which was alienating so many of the base Democratic groups during the primaries that we couldn't get them back for the general election, and Labor is one of them. There was a real strong thrust inside the Hart campaign to run an anti-Labor campaign, especially in the South. And our feeling was that we did not want a nomination where you couldn't win a general election. The second thing that we tried to do every once in a while was really position Hart against Reagan to show that they were both understanding that people felt better about the country, but Gary Hart was really the person of the future, and that Reagan could talk about this, but he was really old, and Hart was really the person who was thinking about the next century, so that our feeling generally was that people would see, Democrats would see Hart as a more viable candidate against Reagan, and that we wanted that nomination in a way that we could unify the party behind us.
Do you feel the Mondale campaign made that mistake in portraying him as anti-Hart, or building his campaigns on that?
Well, they won the nomination, you know, so it's hard to fault them, but I think they did win it at some cost by falling into that trap of portraying him as the traditional Democrat. And he just didn't have that ability to get the younger Hart supporters. What he said recently, I think, is very interesting, because he says that he thinks his big failing was his inability to attract young people, and he doesn't still understand some of the things that we were struck right after New Hampshire, the weekend before the Maine caucuses. He went up to Maine, and they could tell they were having serious erosion in their campaign. And on the nightly news on the Friday night before the Maine caucuses, Mondale went up there and was surrounded by 25 older white male politicians. And to all we said was, he still doesn't catch on to what this is all about. His feeling was, well, you know, I've got this senator and that senator and this representative, and if they show me. And instead, people were reacting against that image that he had. But by playing out the campaign, I don't think it was some of it was anti-Hart, but some of it was just his inability to break from that image of being a traditional and his association with a Carter presidency.
I heard early on in the campaign that Gary Hart wouldn't consider running as vice president with Walter Mondale. Later on, I got the impression that he was disappointed that he wasn't us. What was the real story? Would he have run, and if he had been asked to run as the vice president, what impact would that have had?
Gary Hart wanted in no way to run as vice president with Walter Mondale, but he was finally persuaded, in most part by his wife, but by other people who were very concerned about the debt that he had, that the only way to really be able to raise money was to go on that ticket. The polling data showed that it would have been a strong ticket, that Hart could have brought some of those younger independents to the ticket, and when people, Dick Wirthland, Reagan's pollster, has said this, and some of the public polls showed that a Mondale-Hart ticket was a stronger ticket than a Mondale and a woman. Ferraro was difficult to measure because she wasn't known during that period, but it did look like a strong ticket. The problem that I think he saw, that Mondale saw, and that many of us saw, was that they were personally so incompatible. They do not like each other. They had been through a bitter campaign. Hart was used to being number one. To go to a number two slot for him would have been very difficult. And I think the press was very primed to that. And so that we may well have had a lot of negative stories about the two men trying to work together and the difficulties of merging these two very diverse campaign styles. I used to say our campaign was an exercise in creative chaos. I mean, it was a very creative group of people, but very undisciplined and disorganized. The Mondale campaign was extraordinarily disciplined and organized, but lacking in creativity. And trying to blend those two campaigns and those two styles, I think, might have caused some problems. But the polling data showed it was a pretty strong ticket.
Would you mind putting on your predictive hat and answering, do you think Gary Hart is a viable candidate in the 88 election? And are there any other people in the Democratic Party in particular who you feel would give him a challenge to the Democratic nomination?
Yeah. I just...
Particularly because he's up for re-election in 86.
William Sapphire has an article today that you should all read in the Times. It's a fun article, but I can see the drift going all crazy again. I mean, we'll get candidates that are not going to be viable, but you know, it's sort of Kennedy and Cuomo are two who are emerging as major people for the press to pay attention to right now. I think what's going to happen is that Kennedy and Cuomo will be out there. They're known. They're interesting. But they're both, I think, representing an old school of politics. To me, the interesting candidates to watch are Hart, maybe somebody like Bill Bradley, Bruce Babbitt from Arizona, the governor of Arizona, some of the younger, Joe Biden probably will be splashy and do some things. Jay Rockefeller.
Do you need someone from the outside the Northeast and who is not identified as being a liberal to? Now, I mean, winning the Democratic nomination, I think certainly Mario Cuomo or Kennedy are viable nominees. But as far as winning a general election, which Democrats have had a rotten track record, it seems that being either a Kennedy or a Cuomo would be a death knell for the party.
I think so, too. And I think the interesting thing, and the reason that I kind of like New Hampshire, is that New Hampshire tends to like these outsider candidates also. And, you know, if a Kennedy or Cuomo didn't win New Hampshire, they'd be in trouble. I think Gary Hart I think we're going to have a very interesting 3 years on the Democratic side and the Republican side, but that the question of new isn't going to be enough this time at all. You've got a lot of new, and I think hopefully we're going to get a clash of ideas. You're going to get some people really trying to generate some interesting policies and to get some debate on the issues. My own long shot candidate is a guy named Bill Clinton, who's the governor of Arkansas, who's young. And I think that the Democrats have almost got to go either south or west and find somebody. But I think, you know, we're into it already, God help us, and we've got 3 years here.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.